podcast channel Urology for Everyone. I am Dr. Girish Nilvigi, urologist and andrologist. Today, I will be speaking on a topic which is of medical as well as emotional importance. And that topic is kidney stones in children. Whenever a child has a stone in the kidney, the parents are very much disturbed because of pain suffered by the child as well as anxiety about the treatment. And they are also worried about what lifestyle changes have to be brought about in the child to prevent the formation of kidney stones. Now, let us see what are the causes for stones in children. Broadly speaking, the causes for kidney stone in children are the same as that in adults. Majority of them are composed of calcium oxalate and calcium phosphate. However, there are certain factors in the kidney which lead to the formation of kidney stones. Those factors are anatomical. That means whenever there is a structural abnormality in the kidney, like obstruction due to congenital abnormalities or acquired abnormalities, there is a stasis of urine in the kidney. This leads to the growth of bacteria and subsequently urinary tract infections, which are responsible for the formation of renal stones. About 20 to 25% of the stones in children are because of this factor. However, the most important factor for the formation of stones in children is metabolic. Now, what is a metabolic problem? Whenever there is an abnormality in the way our body handles calcium and oxalate, kidney stones form. So this is a metabolic abnormality. About 80 to 85% of the stones in children are composed of calcium oxalate and calcium phosphate, and these are due to metabolic causes. Both calcium and oxalate are present in the food we eat and is absorbed through our intestines. Normally, the serum levels of calcium and oxalate are very finely regulated. This is done by varying the amount of calcium and oxalate absorbed and excreted in the urine. For some reason, if the body absorbs excess of these minerals or excretes too much of them in urine, calcium oxalate crystals are precipitated in urine and grow up to form stones. An important question that is asked is, can we prevent the formation of stones in children by asking them to eat a particular diet or by asking them to stay away from some particular diet? However, contrary to popular understanding, diet is responsible for only a small proportion of kidney stones. Some of the dietary deviations that cause renal calculi are excess salt, excess animal protein, lack of calcium, and excess oxalate as found in spinach, tea, chocolates, etc. Now, what is the role of water intake in kidney stones? This is an important risk factor in stones formation. A well-hydrated person will not supersaturate calcium and oxalate in urine. There is also increased urine output, which leads to excretion of calcium oxalate crystals in urine and reduces the acidity of urine. But it is not possible to set any target in terms of volume of water intake, as different children will have different capacities depending on their age, body mass, and their geographical settings. The rule of thumb is to ensure adequate urine output. Now, how do urologists evaluate the kidney stones in children? Ultrasound examination detects and characterizes most of the stones in the kidneys and the urinary bladder. Uretic stones are diagnosed many times, but not always, by this method. In case of uncertainty, either an X-ray or a CT scan can be done. Basic blood tests and urine examination complete the evaluation. In children, a metabolic evaluation is mandatory. These are specialized tests to evaluate the cause of the stones. It includes special tests of blood and urine for various components like calcium, oxalate, uric acid, citrate, and phosphate. The urine is usually collected for 24 hours and analyzed. How do you treat kidney stones in children? There are many modalities, and I'll be just briefly speaking about them. ESWL is extracorporeal shockwave lithotripsy. It is a technique wherein the kidney stones are fragmented using sound waves. In children, this is done under general anesthesia or sedation. The stone pieces are passed out through urine over a period of few weeks. The other method to remove stones in the kidney and the ureter is endoscopy. For example, stones in the ureter are treated by inserting an endoscope through the penis or the urethra and into the ureter. This is called ureteroscopy. This endoscope is about 2 mm in diameter and the procedure is done under anesthesia. The stone is fragmented and the pieces are removed. When the stone is in the kidney and is large in size, a procedure called percutaneous nephrolithotomy or PCNL is done. In this procedure, a puncture is made in the back and an endoscope measuring about 5 mm in diameter is used to enter into the kidney and the stone is fragmented and removed. This procedure is done under anesthesia. When the stone is in the urinary bladder, an endoscope is passed into the urinary bladder and the stone is fragmented and removed. This is called cystolithotripsy. Is there any role for non-surgical methods to remove kidney stones? Such stones are usually found in the ureter, and if they are very small in size, we ask the parents to ensure that the child drinks adequate water so that the stone is passed out through urine. Now, what is the long-term outcome of a child with kidney stones? Many stones recur because of existing metabolic abnormalities. This is a distressing situation for the parents due to repeated hospital visits. However, with dietary modifications and adequate fluid intake, the risk of recurrence can be reduced, if not totally prevented. Thank you. That's all for our podcast for today. I'll be back with a new topic. Till then, goodbye. Thank you.